Okay, today's daf is Brachos daf Lamed Tes. We are holding on daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. We are four lines before the end of the page on Lamed Ches Amid Beis. So we were discussing the sugya of shlakos. What if you have cooked vegetables? Does it still retain its status as a vegetable and still have a bari pri adama? Or does it lose its status of a vegetable and now become shakol niya b'dvaros? It says in Gemara, Masav Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel, Yerakol shadam yotzi ben yidei chavasa b'pesach. When a person uses vegetables for his mitzvah of maror on Pesach, yotzi behen u'bekelach shalehen. You can use the leaf part of the vegetable, because marar, all the different minim of marar, are all leafy vegetables with the possible exception of horseradish, if in fact horseradish is one of the items on the list that's a kosher thing to use for marar, but all the rest of them are leafy vegetables. So you say you can use the leaves of the vegetables, the bekelach shalen, and the stalks of the vegetables to be mashed in the shir of a kazayis, avalo kavushin, velo shlukin, velo mavushalin. But you can't soak the vegetables, you can't cook the vegetables, overcook the vegetables, and you can't regularly cook the vegetables. Meaning, cooked maror is no good. But if you hold that cooked vegetables are still going to be bar pri adam, and that they still retain the status of a vegetable, shlukana milo, why can't you cook the vegetables? So if it's still bar pri adam, it should still be kosher for maror. So isn't this a raya that it's not still bar pri adam, that it loses its status as a vegetable? Says maror, no, shiny awesome to be in tam maror v'lecha. Now, over there it's different because you need tam maror, and once you cook it, it loses its tam maror. There is a discussion in the Achronim whether you need tam merirus or tam maror. Chazanish held that it's not enough that something tastes like the vegetable that is called maror, meaning, let's say, romaine lettuce is the first item on the list of the Mishnah, Mesechus Pesachim. The Mishnah gives a list of five vegetables that are kosher for maror, and it gives it an order of most preferred to least preferred, according to the Gemara. So the first item on the list is romaine lettuce. That's why romaine lettuce is, according to all accounts, the most preferred vegetable to use for lettuce. However, the Chazanish said, wait a second, our romaine lettuce doesn't taste so bitter when you pick it at the right time, and we have it in salads all the time. It's delicious, doesn't taste bitter at all. So the Chazanish held that tam maror requires not just that it tastes like the vegetable that is that qualifies as maror, but that it actually has a merirus, that it actually has a bitter taste to it. And maybe you're not yotze with something that doesn't have a bitter taste to it. The majority of poskim seem to assume otherwise. That no, when you cook the vegetable, it loses its taste as that vegetable, meaning that it's supposed to taste like romaine lettuce. And when you cook it, it doesn't taste like romaine lettuce anymore. It's now going to lose some of its taste. So it's tam maror v'lecha, loses the status of maror when it's cooked. But if it's not cooked, it could be as sweet as you want it to be, and then it's still going to be kosher to use for maror. So the Gemara's point essentially is, it's still a vegetable even after you cook it. It would still be bar pri adama, but by maror there's a different din. In addition to being a vegetable, it needs to have its original taste intact, and it won't have that after you cook it. Remember, we finished yesterday with a discussion about how Rabbi Yochanan ate a salted olive, and he was mevarich b'tchilu basof. He made a bracha rishona and a bracha achrona. So just on one olive, apparently, he made a bracha achrona. So the Gemara says, how could he have made a bracha achrona on a single olive? Kivan de shakila legarine, batzulei shiura. Once he takes out the seed of the olive, so the shear of a bracha achrona, typically speaking, is a kezayis. So he ate an olive. Perfect. So you would think he has a kezayis. No, the shear is the size of a zayis with the seed, but he ate an olive and presumably ate it without the seed. So if that's the case, how is he allowed to make a bracha achrona when he didn't have the seed? It was a batzulei shiura. He had less than the shear. So Amar Lei mi saver kezayis gadol biinan. Kezayis beinoni biinan. Who says that the shear is a kezayis gadol? No, the shear is an average size kezayis. The Gemara already recognizes that olives come in different sizes. The olive that Rabbi Yochanan ate must have been a very large olive, where even after you remove the pit, the size of what was left was the size of a kezayis beinoni. And the shear of bracha achrona is a kezayis beinoni. The avagav of the shaklu legarinuse, even though they took away the pit, Pashle Shiura, he still remained with the proper shear of the Kazayas Beinani, of the regular Kazayas. Now in one of the Achronim in the back, in Tel Torah, in the back that's quoted in the back of the Gemara, says Kivin the Shakli Garanisa Batsule Shiura Tsarukli Iun Ladasa Poskin Borchaim Simon Rej Bez Da Algarin in Mevarich Boru Priadama. that there is a shita in Shulchan Aruch that if you eat seeds, the bracha is Baruch Pri Adama. Even seeds of a fruit, where the bracha on the fruit is Baruch Pri Eitz, the seeds are Baruch Pri Adama. So he says, the Gemara makes it sound like the only reason he wouldn't make a bracha achrona is because he took out the seed. But had he eaten the seed, then he had the full shear, then it would require the bracha achrona, bracha achas mein shalosh. But wait a second, if you eat 3/4 of a kezayis of something that requires bracha achas mein shalosh, and 1/4 of a kezayis of something that requires a bari nefashos, do you still make bracha achas mein shalosh? He says, I don't see why. Imken afim achal agarin, hech yitztarif agarin, lebirchas mein gimel. How could the garin combine with the olive if he did eat the whole thing with the seed? How could the seed combine to make up the shear, to make a bracha achas mein shalosh? So he says, umuchrach lomar, the gam l'shasti lan, beryu in your bracha b'kol shu, l'chein parach rak, kivan d'shakli l'garinise, avon lo ya'ochlo, ima garin ha'ya berya, v'lo b'yishyura. No, the point is, had he eaten it with the seed, it's not that it would have been a kezayis. Had he eaten it with the seed, it would have been a beria. It would have been a complete entity. And the halacha is that a beria requires a bracha achrona. I mean, this is a major discussion in the achronim, whether that's in fact true. The poskim, the Taz on the side of Shulchan Aruch has a long discussion about this, whether if a person eats an entire grape, let's say, so it's less than the size of a kezayis, but is it a beria, and the fact that it's an entire entity, does that lend it the chashivus for bracha achrona? So that's what the Tel Torah tries to suggest, that it does lend it the chashivus for bracha achrona, and that's why the Gemara assumes that if he would eat the seed, it would have been something that required a bracha achrona. One could have argued that the diuk is not such a good diuk, that the diuk is not, had he eaten the seed, it would have required a bracha achrona. The Gemara is just saying that a normal way to eat it is without the seed. So mistama, he took out the seed, so how did he taka make a bracha achrona with taking out the seed? Not necessarily that you have to make any sort of diuk. Now, the Gemara seems to be asked, how could he make a bracha? It didn't say how could he make a bracha achrona. Just said, how could he make a bracha? The Rov Rishonim assume that we're asking about bracha achrona. We're not asking about bracha Rishona, because bracha Rishona, the halacha is kolanena, that it's also lehanos melam azeh b'lo bracha. You're not allowed to get any hana from this world without a bracha. So mela, you got hana from this world without a bracha, even if you eat less than a shear. So eating less than a shear was not a kasha about bracha Rishona. It was only kasha about bracha achrona. If you look at Tosfos, so it says Tosos Hainu Dafka, and Tab Tosos Hainu Dafka Bebracha Shala Achrav Debin and Shir. Al Bracha Shalafan of a few Pachsmik Shir, the Asalamas Balmaz Ablo Bracha, Bailin Nachila, Bailin Shtia, Aval Bebracha Shala Achrav Bin and Shir Melo Lugmav. Okay, so he says this whole issue of did you have the Shir, did you not have the Shir, is only an issue for Bracha Achrona. It's not an issue for Bracha Rishona. Whenever you get any anaf in this world, you require Bracha Rishona. Al Kain Yeshli Zari Lishtos Mikoshal Bracha Melo Lugmav, Kadeshi Yavarich Lach. Main gimel brachos, and he says that's why by a kol shel bracha, person should be careful to make sure they have the shear. You should make sure you have a malo lugmav so that you can make a bracha achrona. So, for instance, someone makes havdalah. So we make havdalah very often. We're not really so much in the mood to have wine. Tulsus recommends, though, try to make sure you have the proper shear so that you can then make a bracha achas main shalosh after you have the wine and alagafen valpriagafen after making havdalah. Va'ariya yomer bebori nefashos kiven delav bracha chashuvihi afil bebater mishiurim varchin and bori nefashos. He says that the Ri says, and this put, we could put this on the list of where we treat Bari Nefashos as a second class bracha achrona. Shitas Hari is Bari Nefashos could be said even if you have less than a shear, because it's not a bracha chashuva. The Gemara called it not even a bracha at all. Velo klum, the Gemara had referred to it. Velo nira, the kivin the bari nefashos tiknua keneged ala gefen, ki echid ala gefen ba yishura, bari nefashos rabos nami ba yishura. But he said he doesn't think that's correct. Since bari nefashos, we're misakein keneged al hagefen, just like we're misakein al hagefen on wine, so we're misakein bari nefashos on other foods, so therefore it would follow the same rules. So it will be Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yochanan, Hechi Baruch Hazayis, Halav Yishur, V'kamer Mishum Beria. The Yerushalmi is the one that raises the issue of Beria in our Gemara. Meaning in our Gemara, it's not asking about Beria, it's asking about the Shir. It has nothing to do with Beria. The Yerushalmi says that the reason Rabbi Yochanan was able to make a Bracha Achrona was not that he had an extra large olive, like our Gemara says. Rather, the Yerushalmi says, is because it was a Beria. He ate eliminate the whole beria. Meaning, even if you eat afilu loachal el preda achas shalana lo preda achas shal rimon boy bruchei mishum to beberia mevarchen afilu pachus mikazayis. That whenever you have a full entity, a single full grape, that would be enough to be to be mechayev a bracha achrona. Okay, that's the discussion. That's the machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Says the Gemara further now. Ditnan, we're right in the middle of a sentence, really, in the fifth line on the page, Lama Tesla Medalf. Ditnan, Zayisha Amru, Lo Katan Velo Gadol, El Beinani. That whenever we say that you have to make a bracha achron on an olive, it means not a small olive, not an extra large olive, an average size olive. Vizehu Aguri, and that's called Aguri. It's not called Aguri, rather it's called Avruti is the name. Va'amri la Samrusi Shemo. V'lama nikra Shemo Aguri, Sheshmono Agur Betocho. Why is the olive called Aguri? Because its oil is Agur, is trapped inside of it. So that's why it's called Aguri. I seem to recall, although I'm not finding it right now, that the Rabbeinu Yonah has a Mechudosh Tekashita about the shear. That even though we say a Bracha Rishona it does not require a shear, you can make a Bracha Rishona even on Pachas Mikshir. I seem to recall that, and I could be wrong, I hope I'm not wrong about this, that Rabbeinu Yonah holds that a Bracha Rishona can be said on less than a shear, but you can only make a Shahakal. You can't make a Bar Minei Mizonos or a Bar Pris. That's what I said last time? Oh, good, okay. So, pretty good memory, right? So Rabbeinu Yonah somewhere says that a bracha rishona does not, that you only make a shakal. Perhaps the lumdus in that idea is that there are two reasons why one requires a bracha achrona. There's a kiyum of asalanas min olam hazeh b'lo bracha. You're not allowed to get hana from this world without a bracha. But then there's a separate din that that for every kol yom v'yom tein lo me'ein berchosav, that you have to give a specific bracha to the specific type of hana that you're getting. It could be that the din of specific bracha is only a din only a din when you have a kezayis. Then that's a chashuv enough amount that you make a specific bracha. But also the hanos mil mazeh below bracha, any sort of hana would be enough to require a bracha, even if it's a lesser amount. So kol yom yom tein lo me'ein berchosav is the requirement to give a separate bracha for each food. Aslanus melam is a blow bracha. That's shahakal. Just say a bracha. Make sure that you say some sort of bracha. So pachus mikashir, Rabbeinu Yonah would hold that you could say a shahakal. That's the chiddush of Rabbeinu Yonah. Mechavrusa wanted to compare this to the idea of chatzi shir asa min haTorah. There's a chakira nachronim, but chatzi shir asa min haTorah. What's chatzi shir? When I eat a chatzi shir of chazir, not me. If somebody eats a chatzi shir of chazir, so does such a person violate the isser of chazir? Meaning min haTorah, it's a violation of chazer, or no, min haTorah, it's a violation of an isser called chatzishir. That's a separate isser called chatzishir. That's the chakira in the achronim. Similar idea to Rabbeinu Yonah. The pachos mikashir, it may not be that this is called a cookie right now, because I'm not getting, I don't give a bracha me'ein berchosav, but it is hana. And as hana, I still have to make a shakal. That chakira about chatzishir may have big nafkaminas legabe chatzishir b'mitzvos. There's a discussion. Let's say you have two Jews and one kazayis of matzah to split between them. Is it better for one of them to have the full kazayis, or for both of them to split it? Each of them have a half a kazayas. So if you hold that there's a din of chatzi shir by mitzvos also, so then it's at least a discussion that maybe each of them should have a half a kazayas, so that way they'll both be getting partial mitzvah. But maybe if you hold chatzi shir asam in haTorah is an isser called chatzi shir, it's not chatzi chelev, chatzi chazer, it's an isser called chatzi shir, mehechi tesi, that such a thing would apply by mitzvos. I mean, if you hold it's half of the entity, so you could say, good, a half a kazayas of matzah is matzah. But if you hold it's a separate, it's considered something else, there's a separate issue in the Torah called Chatzishir, there may not be a separate mitzvah in the Torah called Chatzishir. Okay, let's see Vayter in the Gemara now. So, Neima Katanai says the Gemara, maybe this whole discussion that we had about Shlokos is really Machlokas Tanoim. Tahanu Trei Talmidei Davyasu Kamei Debar Kapara. There were these two Talmidei that were sitting in front of Bar Kapara. Vilufan of Kruv V'drums U'drumsakin U'pargios. And they brought in front of him cabbage and I wrote in my Gemara, mountain spinach and pargios. So Nasan Bar Kapara Rishus Lechem Me'an Levarich. Pargios is little pieces of meat. So Bar Kapara said, okay, why don't you go ahead and make a bracha? Kafutsu birech ala pargios. So the guy goes, and with all these items in front of him, he makes a bracha on the meat. Ligligalov chavero. So his friends started laughing at him, mocking him, that how could you make a bracha on the meat? That's a shahakal. Don't you know anything about the kadima of brachos? Cause Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara got angry. So who did he get angry at? Amar lo ala mevarech ani kois. I'm not angry at the guy who made the wrong bracha. El ala malaglig ani kois. I'm angry at the guy who mocked his friend. Im chavircha doma kemishalo tam tam basar meolam. Atal malig lagta olav. Just because your friend is acting like he's never seen meat before in his life, because he thinks meat is so chashuv that he has to make the bracha on meat first, what are you laughing at him for? It's not nice to laugh. Chazavi amar, then he said, lola malaglig ani kois. I'm not angry at the malaglig, I'm not angry at the guy who made fun of him. El ala mevarich ani kois. Rather, I'm angry at the person who made the bracha. Va'amar, and he said, im chachme ein kan, zikne ein kan. Good, you may not have the chachma to know what bracha to make, but there are rabbis around that you could ask. I was sitting right here. If you had a shaila about what bracha to make, why were you bashful to ask the question? So Tano Ushneim Lo Tziu Shnasan. Pretty scary. Neither of them survived the year. One for making the wrong bracha without giving the kavod of asking the shaila, without admitting that he didn't know the answer and just asking the shaila when he could have easily asked. And the other one for making fun of his friend. Both of them didn't make it through the year. So my lav b'akamifki. What were these two talmidim arguing about? Right, Mistama, these weren't clowns. These were guys who knew a little bit. So they must have had some svara. What was the svara of their machlokas? The mevarik savar shlako supargios shakol niyabed. The one who made the bracha assumed that these vegetables anyway were cooked vegetables, and that he held that the halacha is cooked vegetables are a shahakal. So the meat is a shahakal, the vegetables are a shahakal. So you go with the chaviv, whatever is more chaviv to you, you make the bracha on. Umelaglig savar shlokos par pri adama pargio shakol niyab dvaro hilkach pira adif. And the melaglig, the one who was mocking him, who was making fun of him, held that shlokos, even after they're cooked, vegetables are a bar pri adama. So your choice was a bar pri adama or a shahakal. So don't you see it's a machlokas? What bracha you make on shlokos? We already saw it's a machlokas, but now you see that it's a machlokas between these two opinions, these two tanoim. We saw it's a machlokas amoraim previously. Now we see it's a machlokas tanoim. Says Gemara Lo. It could be everyone holds that shlokos or shakol niyabidvaro. Over here, the machlokas is about this. One holds that that which is chaviv is better. The other one holds that that which is more nourishing is better. It requires the bracha first. Meaning, is it what you like to taste better, or is it that which nourishes you that's better? Why would it be about taste? Why would it be about satiating you? So perhaps, just thinking out loud, when it comes to taste, that's the hana. It's also lehanos melma zeblo bracha. The whole point of bracha rishona is because you're getting hana. So that which gives you more hana. So they could be arguing about what's called hana. Is hana what I actually enjoy while I'm eating? Or is it the long-term hana, the fact that I'm satiated? Now, from the requirement of bracha achrona in the Torah, it's v'achalta v'savata uverachta. The hana of the bracha midar raisa, of bracha achrona, is a sviya. That's considered. But maybe the takana of bracha rishona is more hana focused and less satiation focused. That could be the machlokas. So he said, turnip heads, parminu prima rabba bar pri adama. If you crush them up in large chunks, so then it's bar pri adama. Prima zuta shakol niyabidvaro. But when you crush it up really small, then the bracha shakol niyabidvaro. L'chiasan l'be Rav Yehuda amarlan, idivi idi bar pri adama. And when we came to Rav Yehuda, he said, either way it's going to be bar pri adama. Vayde parminu tvei, ki echi dinam tiktaimei. The reason that they crush it up a little more is to sweeten its taste a little bit, but it's not, it doesn't change its fundamental status as a vegetable. Amar Rav Ashi, ki avinu b'Rav Kana amarlan, tavshila desilka, d'lo mafshu b'kimcha, bar pri adama. When they make a dish out of beets, where they put flour in the dish, but it's not so much flour, so it retains the bracha bar pri adama. It does not become bar minei mizonos just because there happens to be some flour in there. delifta, but if it's made with turnips, the mafshu bakim chutfei, where the minig is that when they make this dish, they put a little more flour in it, then bari minei mizonos. V'hadar amar, and then he said, idi vidi bar pri adama, even with the turnips, it's a bar pri adama, v'hai deshadi bakim chutfei, ledvuke bi'alma avdila. The reason they put flour in there, a little more flour in there, is for the substance of it, for it to have a different, what's the word, for it to feel different. It's not texture, right. It's for the texture, it's not for the taste. And since it's for the texture, it's only for the texture, it's not going to change the bracha, it's not going to be a mizonos. So the havamina of the Gemara is that the flour was to give tam into the tavshil, right, in both cases. And yet we were still willing to say that the slika is bar pri adama, even though it was to give taste in the it's only lamaskana that we say that both of them are bar pri adama because it's only for texture. But the havamina was that the one that's made out of beets, where it's not so much kemach, even though it's for taste, it would still be bar pri adama. So the kasha that everyone asks is, wait a second, whatever happened to the Gemara we had in Lamed Vav Beis? Kol sheyesh bo chameshes minei dagon varchon l'bar minei mizonos. Anything that has chameshes minei dagon, where the flour is put in there for taste, even if it's a very tiny amount of flour, it should be bari minei mizonos. How could the Gemara assume that flour being put in for taste, if it's a small amount of flour, will not be bari minei mizonos? So the Or Sameach says a chiddush gadol over here la halacha. The Or Sameach in Hilchos Brachos Parak Gimel Halacha Vav writes that this din, that anything that has chameshes minei dagon is bari minei mizonos, is only if you were to put in so much flour that the flour would be a rove, that the dish would still taste good. Then you say that when the flour, no matter how small a measure of flour you put in there, it's still going to be a bar minei mizonos. But when it's a dish that if you were to make the majority of it flour, it would ruin the entire dish, then it would not be a bar minei mizonos, even though there is flour in there, a small amount of flour, because it couldn't even handle, that dish couldn't tolerate a large amount of flour. That's the chiddush gadol of the Or Sameach. So Rav Eliashiv says that his tradition is that schnitzel, if you have fried chicken with breadcrumbs, so it has kemach, it has some flour. It's a major machlokas in the poskim. Is it bari minei mizonos or is it shakol niyeh bedvaro? So Rav Eliashiv said that his understanding is, even though he understands Studim lekanu lekan ledina, he says shakol niyeh bedvaro. It should be shakol. He says that's what he heard from the Chazon Ish, that it's shakol niyeh bedvaro. Now, why would it be shakol niyeh bedvaro? So one possible svara, there are others, but one possible svara may be based on the this Or Sameach, right? That if you would put so much more breadcrumbs that it's more than the chicken, it would ruin the entire dish. That could be a possible svara. The Chazon Ish was asked about gefilte fish, that they put in a little bit of flour for taste, not only for consistency but for taste. So l'chor should be mizonos. Chazon Ish said no. Even if you put in a little flour, people see the dagim as the ikur and the main chashivus of that dish for sure. And the raya is they call it gefilte fish, and therefore he held that it should still be a shakel, should not be a barim named mizonos. And the same he held is true with schnitzel, that it's chicken, they call it chicken cutlet. They don't call it anything else, and therefore it would be bari minei mizonos. Okay, I mean it would be shakol niyeh bedvaro. Says Gemara, Amar Rav Chista, tavshil shel tardin. If you have cooked beets, yafa lelei v'tov le'inayim. It's good for the heart and it's good for the eyes. V'kol shkein lebnei me'ayim, and it's really good for the intestines. Amar Abayi v'hudi Yosef abe tafei v'avet tuch. That's only if you leave it on a simmering flame and it does tuch. Tuch tuch, the Gemara is making the sound effect. Then when it's boiling on the flame, it sounds like tuch tuch. That's the Gemara's, what do they call it? Yeah, Anman Piyah. So Amar Rav Papa, Pshitali Maya de Silka Kasilka Umaya de Lifta Kalifta. It's Pashat that beet water has the din of beets, and turnip water has the din of turnip. Umaya de Kulushalki Kukulushalki. And the water of all vegetables has the din of all vegetables. What's it saying? You make a vegetable soup and you eat the soup without the vegetable, the bracha is Bari Pri Adama. That's what the Gemara seems to be telling us over here. Now, in yesterday's daf, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, we said, Duvsha Ditamri, if you have oil that comes, honey that comes from dates, the halacha is shakol niya bedvaro. Why? Zeya bialmahu. That's just liquid. It's a little zeya that comes out of the fruit. It doesn't count as the fruit itself. It's only zeya bialma. So all of the Rishonim are bothered by the kasha. When you have actual juices that come from the fruit itself, and without being mixed into anything else, that we say, yeah, we chalk it out, it's zeya bialma. It's nothing, no big deal. It's just a shakol. When you have water that was flavored by vegetables, now we're going to say it has a chashivas of a bar pri adama. So the Rishonim are all bothered by this kasha. Three basic approaches in the Rishonim. The Rush in Simin Yud Ches over here says, Shamashka ein lo tam hapri, that honey that comes from dates doesn't taste like dates, it's an entirely different taste, and therefore it loses the bracha of the pri. But when it comes to vegetables that are cooked in liquid, the liquid tastes like the vegetables, and it will retain the bracha. So it would turn out it's not a chilek in vegetables versus fruits. If you cook fruits and you make a fruit soup, and the tam of the pri is nichnas into the water, so as long as it's the time of the pri, the bracha would be Abar Priya Eitz, according to the Rush. The Rashba Lamed Chesamid Aleph writes, V'lo damya l'maya deshalki, when he's talking about the date honey, he says it's not like maya deshalki, maya deshifta, tahanu, kivan sharov achilasan hu al yidei shlika, me shlikasan kamosan. Says the Rashba, who eats beets, who eats turnips? The main way to eat these things is by cooking them. So since that's the primary way to eat them, when you cook them in water, so the water is the normal way to get the flavor from them, so then you would make a bar pri adama on the water. But a date, the normal way to eat a date is not by squeezing out the juices. The normal way to eat a date is by eating a date. And therefore, when you squeeze out the juices, it would be a shakel. That's the Rashba's approach. The Meiri raises a different question about Mei Shlakos. That the one of the halachos of brachos is you only make a bracha on a pre when it still has the tzura of the pre. Remember we discussed applesauce that's completely crushed up. If it no longer has a tzura of a pre whatsoever, then you don't make a bracha on the pre. So what about that? Doesn't the soup no longer have the tzura of the pre? So the Meiri gives a couple of terutz, and Rav Eliashiv says it's hard to figure out exactly what he's talking about, but he says he's approximately, he's saying something like this: that the Meiri holds that Mei Shlakos, you don't make you only make a shahakal, you don't make hadama. We're not saying that Mei Shlakos you make hadama. When over here we say Maya Deshalki Keshalki means that when you already made a bracha on the vegetable, that patters the bracha on the soup also. You don't need to make a separate bracha on the soup, even though if you were to eat only the soup would be a shakol niya bedvaro, meaning the Meiri holds ein achinami, that you can't make on Mei Shlakos themselves or on the zeya that comes out of a pri a birchas hapri. It's not the pri at all. It no longer has any tzuras hapri, and therefore it's only saying that if you happen to have already made another bracha, so it's already covered in the bracha on the soup itself. That's the Meiri's shita. Okay. Says the Gemara further now. Bai Rav Papa, Maya Deshifta Mai. What about water that you cook dill in? What's the din? Mtuke Taima Avdiola Vurizume Avdiola. Is it to make the taste better? Or is it, and therefore you'd make on the water Burpi Adama? Or is it only to take away the Zuama, the impurities from the dill? So Tashma, Hashavas Mishnas Natam Bikadera, Inba Mishum Truma. As soon as it gives flavor into a pot, it's no longer subject to Truma. It's no longer called a food. So we see that it's made to sweeten and not for anything else, and therefore the bracha would be a bar pi adama. Amrav Chia Bar Ashi, first while the fourth to last line on the page, Amrav Chia Bar Ashi, pas tsunuma b'ka'ara. If you have bread, dried bread that you put into a plate to soak it, to small pieces to soak up to make it edible again, mevarchan aleha hamotzi. You make a bracha of hamotzi. Pliga de Rabbi Chia, this is against Rabbi Chia, dam Rabbi Chia, tzarech shetichla bracha ima pas. That Rabbi Chia holds the bracha of hamotzi has to come while you cut the bread. This bread is already cut up into small pieces, so there's no way to make a bracha of hamotzi properly on this bread, because part of the dinim of birch hamotzi is that as you're finishing the bracha, you should be finishing cutting the bread. Maskev l'rava, maishnat snuma delo, mishum dechikalia bracha aprusa kakalia, ala pasnami ki kagamra, aprusa gamra. He says, well, wait a second. By tsnuma, you say the problem is that it's already in small pieces, but in general, when you eat on bread, you always always, when you eat bread, you always cut up the bread first. Elo amar Rava mevarich v'achach boseya. So Rava says, no, you should not already cut up the bread. You should first make a bracha and then be boseya the bread. Na'ardai avdi k'Rabbi Chiya, v'Rabbanan avdi k'Rava. So Na'ardai did like Rabbi Chiya, where they cut the bread first. Rabbanan did like Rava, where he'd make the bracha and then cut the bread. Amar Ravina, Amrli Aim, Ravina says, my mother told me, Avucha Avid Rabbi Chiya, that my father did like Rabbi Chiya. Dam Rabbi Chiya Tzarek Shetich LeBracha Ima Pas, V'Rabbanan Avdi K'Rava, and the Rabbanan did like Rava, V'Hilch Sak Rava Dam Mvarich V'Achach Botzeya. And Allah is like Rava, that we first make a bracha, then we're Botzeya. So Tosus points out, V'Hilch Sak Rava Mvarich V'Achach Botzeya, we don't separate the piece that we're taking from the rest of the bread until after we make the bracha. Not only not separated entirely, some people don't cut the slice at all from the rest of the bread before making the bracha, because there's a din that the bracha is supposed to be made on a shlema. Ve'ena minug nachol nasos, Kain, davi hesach hadas bein habracha la'achila. He says, but you're creating a new problem, and that is that if you make a bracha on a shlema and then you cut it, so that's a hesach hadas. It's too much of a hefsik between the bracha and the achila. Umiu b'shabis nachol nahachmir levarich kodem shiachtoch shlo tishmat yadul of tzoa kodem shetich la'abracha sha'ozlo yil olecha mishnah. But on Shabbos it might be a worthwhile chumrah to make the bracha before you cut anything, because on Shabbos you need lecha mishnah, and we're afraid that if you slice it first, even if you don't fully rip it off first, it may fall off, and by the time you make the bracha, you're not going to be making a bracha on two shalims, on a real lecha mishnah. So that's the shita of Tosfos. So that's a minhag a lot of people have, is that they during the week you slice it most of the way through. I think that's what Shulchan Aruch says you're supposed to slice it most of the way through. You make the bracha, and then so it's still shalem, and then you rip off the piece. On Shabbos you can't slice it most of the way through because of Tosfos' concern. So people make a mark in it as some sort of a zecher to the concept of beginning the slicing already before the bracha. So they make some sort of mark in it. But one should be careful. If you make some sort of mark in it, it's supposed to make the slicing easier afterwards, not more difficult, because you're trying to find that mark where you could then cut. So if it takes longer, then you probably defeated the whole purpose of it in the first place. Okay, two dots. Itmar hevilif nem pesisim v'shleimim. If they bring in front of you small pieces and full loaves, amar avunim varich al pesisim upoter shleimim. So you make a bracha on the pesisim, and that exempts the shleimim. Rabbi Yochanan amar shleima mitzvah min amuvchar. That the shleima is the mitzvah min amuvchar. So you should make the bracha on the shleima. Avol prusa shalchit u'neshleima. If the small pieces are made of are wheat bread, and the shalem ones are barley bread, everyone says the prusa shel chitin is better than the shalem of sa'orin. Chitin is always better than sa'orim. Why? Tosus in the second wide line, the chiti adifi mishum da'akta mekra. When the pasuk lists off the zayin minim, it lists off eretz chito sa'ora. Chito is before sa'ora, so chito is more chashav than sa'ora. It's also throughout Gemara we always assume sa'ora is like animal food, so it's like a machal behema. Chitin is a better food, but that's not what the Tosus says over here. It's because chitin is better than sa'ora, is before it in the pasuk. Amri Rabbi Yemir Baraba kitanoi. Maybe this is subject to machlokas tanoim. Tormin betel katan shalem avalo chati betel gadol. Let's say you have a choice to give for truma either a shalem, a small onion that's whole, or a half of a large one. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer loki. So the halach is you should take the small one that's shalem. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer loki, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. Ela chati betel gadol. You take a half of the large one. So my love v'hakamifli, isn't that machlokas exactly this? Demar sover chashav adif, demar sover shalem adif. What's better to have the chashivas? The larger one is better. But the smaller one is a shalem. So isn't that what they're arguing about? Whether shalem is better or chashivus is better? Sehechadika kohen says Gemara. No, it's not at all. That machlok is about something else entirely. There's another factor in that machlokas. When there's a kohen around that you can give it to directly, then maybe kuliyam lo pligi the chashuv adiv. Everyone would agree that it's better to give the chashuv. Because the chashuv definitely beats shalem. Keep ligi deleka kohen. The whole machlokas is when there's no kohen there. Titznan, who is learned in the Mishnah, kol makom sheyesh kohen tori min hayafa, ve kol makom shein kohen tori min hamiskayim. Now, whenever there is a kohen, you always give the best. whenever there's no Kohen available and you don't know when the next time you're going to see a Kohen, so you don't just give the best, because the best may be best now, but by the time you find a Kohen in a week from now, it might spoil. So what you look is Minam Eskayim. You look for that which will last the longest, so that hopefully by the time you find a Kohen, it will still be fresh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Torim El Min HaYafer. Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't care whether there's a Kohen, not a Kohen. You always give the best. You worry about the best. For Chuma, you always give the best. I was thinking this may be tally on what we discussed yesterday. It's Tzvei Dinim in Truma. The din of Hafrashas Truma and the din of Nesinas Truma. So what's the din of being Torei Minayafe? Is that a din in the Nesina only, or also a din in the Hafrasha? If it's a din in the Nesina only, so then it makes a lot of sense that if you're a Choshish, you're not going to be able to be Nosein for another week, so you want to make sure that it's going to be something that's going to last that long. So you'll take something that's Miskayin. But if it's a din in the Hafrasha also, granted I'm going to be giving it another week, but right now I'm doing the mitzvah of Hafrashas Truma. I should be Mafrish Minayafe also. And right now, one is clearly superior to the other. This may be an issue about how to understand this din of Minayafa when it comes to Truma. Amrav, based on that Tzvei Dinim in Truma. Amrav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, "V'yarei Shemayim Yotzi Deishnein." Someone who's Yarei Shemayim should fulfill both shitos. So, Manu Marbrei de Ravina, the Marbrei de Ravina Maniach Prusa B'Toch Hashleima Botzeya. I mean, you're not sure which to make a bracha on, the Prusa or the Shleima, the inferior Shleima or the superior Prusa. Have them both together. Make Hamotzi on both of them together. And once again, this is another example you could add it to the list of examples that we've had already of where we say that Yarei Shemayim Dafkin Ilchus Brachos tries to be Yotze Kol Adeos. More so in this area of halacha, apparently, than anywhere else comes up in all the Gemaras, all the Rishonim. Tani Tanakh Hamedir Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Maniach HaPrusa B'toch HaShleimu Botzea U'mevarich. You put the Prusa together with the Shleima, you Botzea on both of them, and you make a bracha. Amalei Mashimcha, Amalei Shalman. He said, my name is Shalman. So Amalei Shalamata V'Shleima Mishnasecha Shesanta Shalom Bein HaTalmidim. So a play on his name, he said, you represent Shalom, your learning is complete, and you've made Shalom amongst the Talmidim by coming up with an Eitzah that satisfies everybody. Amar Rav Papa, Hakol Modim BePesach. Once we talk about taking a whole one and a half and making a motzi together at the same time, you got to talk about Pesach. So Shemaniach Prusa B'Toch Hashleim Botzeya. Everyone agrees by Pesach. You take the half matzah and the whole matzah and you botzeya on both of them together. My taima lechem oni k'siv, because the pasuk says lechem oni. So the kiyum of lechem oni is by having half a piece of matzah as part of your motzi. Amar Biyabu ubishabis chayev adam luvtzo al shtei kikaros. On Shabbos you need to be botzeya on two loaves at the same time. My taima lechem mishnah k'siv, because over there it says by Shabbos it's lechem mishnah. Now there is a machlokas in the Rishonim. What about on Yantif? Do you require lechem mishnah? The Tosfos at the very beginning of Beitza discusses that this is tali on. Did the man fall on Yantif? We know that the man didn't fall on Shabbos, so we had a lechem mishnah based on the double portion of man that fell on Erev Shabbos. Was there a double portion that fell on Erev Yantif? Did man not fall on Yantif? This Tosfos in Beitza daf beis on beis dibur maskel v'haya. He quotes midrashim. Tosfos quotes midrashim that are cholik on this issue. And lahalacha we paskin that the man did not fall on Yantif, and therefore we need lechem mishnah on Yantif as well as a zecher leman. Now there's a very well known tshuva of Rabbi Kiva Eger. One of the reasons it's very well known is because it's the very first tshuva in the sefer. Rabbi Kiva Eger was asked, what if a woman forgets Yalav Yavo on Yantif, in benching on Yantif? Does she have to repeat benching? If a man forgets Yalav Yavo, he's chayven sudis Yantif, pashur he has to repeat benching. Does a woman who forgets Yalav Yavo have to repeat benching? The way the shaila was asked, actually, was the person said, I remember my Zaidi was a big Talmud Chacham, and we were sitting around this table, and the women forgot Yalav Yavo, and he said that they do have to repeat benching. And Rabbi Kiva Eger said, you must remember wrong, your Zaidi was taka, a big Talmud Chacham, and that's why he would know that you don't repeat, that a woman does not repeat benching, because she's not chayiv in sudas Yantif in the first place. So she would not repeat benching unless he says, he writes in Hashmata, maybe it was Lel Seder. And their woman is chayiv tita kazayis a matzah. So maybe that was the story. It was the Lel Seder, and that's why she had to repeat benching. But Rabbi Kiva Eger paskins that a woman who forgets Yalav Yavam benching does not repeat benching because the mitzvah of sudas yantif is a mitzvah shazman grama. Only a man is chayiv in it, not a woman is chayiv. So Rabbi Yashiv quotes as tshuvas she'ilas Shmuel. Simon Yeralf that disagrees with Rabbi Kiva Eger based on the Ran in Masechah Shabbos that we've discussed many times. Ran Shabbos Mem Dalad Amar Alef B'Dapei Ariv says, why is it that women are chayiv in shalosh shudas? The Ran takes it to the pasha that they're chayiv in shalosh shudas, but why are they chayiv in shalosh shudas? So says the Ran, because the whole point of shalosh shudas is a zecher leman, and since it's a zecher leman, the women were also included. Afein hayu boso anes, they were also included in the nes of the man. So they should also be included in shalosh shudas. And then he says, einot sarich, you don't need to give that reason. He writes kasar benu tamzal that they're chayiv to be botzel beis kikaros afein hayu boso anes. But the Ran says, I don't think you need that reason because anyway, women are included in all the mitzvahs say of Shabbos. Kol sheyesh no b'shamar, yesh no b'zachar. Anyone who's chayiv in shmir Shabbos, chayiv in zechira Shabbos doesn't just mean kiddush and possibly Abdullah. It means all the mitzvahs say of Shabbos. One of the mitzvahs say of Shabbos is through the shlishes. But says the tshuva shel Shmuel, the Ran doesn't say ve'ino nachon that Rabbeinu Tam is incorrect. He says ain't tzorech. You don't need the reason of Rabbeinu Tam. So bottom line is, it comes out that both Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran would agree that women are included in anything that relates to man. Anything that relates to the man, women would be included because of afein hayu bosanes. If that's the case, then women should be chayiv in Sudas Yantiv, because the Lecha Mishnah in Lecha Mishnah in Sudas Yantiv, because Lecha Mishnah relates to the man. That's Taisus Maseches Beitza. Says Rav Eliashiv, no. Sometimes Rishonim speak in nice lashon, but it doesn't mean that they really hold like it. Meaning, saying ain't sorech doesn't mean I really think you're right. It means I don't think your reason is correct. That's why I'm going to give a different reason. Meaning, the Ran rejected the idea of afhein hayibol sanes haman. Why did the Ran reject the idea? Okay, that's up for discussion. Rav Eliashiv suggests maybe the Ran rejected the idea because he held afhein hayibol sanes, it only applies to things that saved our lives. But if it wasn't something that saved our life, we didn't need man to say to save our man to fall double portion on Friday to save our lives. Fast a day, one day a week, you won't eat, you're not going to die from that. You have to buy from the Goyim, from wherever we were traveling, we could have bought some food. We didn't need man to save our lives. We needed man, we needed food. But we didn't need that second portion of man to fall on Friday to save our lives. Afein hayu boso anes is only for things that save our lives. That's how Rav Eliashiv says. Rav Soloveitchik points out that afein hayu boso anes always applies to issues that involve persume nisa, that involve mitzvos of persume nisa. Maybe that's why there's no afhin hoyibosa anes on lecha mishnah on the man. That what the Ran is saying is that I don't take Rabbeinu Tam's shita because Rabbeinu Tam assumes that afhin hoyibosa anes applies to lecha mishnah. Lecha mishnah is not a din in persume nisa. Afhin hoyibosa anes is always a din in persume nisa. Where is it? It's by Megillah, it's by Dal Kos, it's by Ner Chanukah. All of them have an inyan of persume nisa. There's no din of persume nisa by the man. So for whatever reason, the Ran is cholik on Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore this issue of whether women should repeat Yalav Yavo may actually be taloi on that machlokas Ran and Rabbeinu Tam about the man. Says Maraviter, Amravashi Chazinu Leil Rav Kahana Denaka Tarti Yubatzachada. He says, I saw that Rav Kahana would hold two loaves of bread, and he would be botzea one of them. Rabbi Zeira Avabatza Akula Sherusa. Very important line. Rabbi Zeira would be botzea for the whole meal. So what does that mean? Rashi says, Prusa gedola, shayidai lo lekala suda b'shabbos. When he cut himself a piece of bread, it wasn't a piece of bread, he cut himself like a half a loaf of bread. He cut himself such a large piece of challah. So Amalei Ravina l'Ravashi, v'akom eschazi kraftenusa. So Ravina says to Ravashi, what's Rav Zeira doing? That's, he's going to look like he's gluttonous by cutting such a large piece. Amalei kivin l'kal yoma lo ka'avid hachi, v'ina ka'avid lo meschazi kraftenusa. He says, nah, don't worry about that. He never does that normally, and he's only doing that now, so he's not going to look like Rav Tanusa. It's not going to look like he's being gluttonous. The Rashba disagrees with Rashi's pshat in this Gemara. Bata Akula Prusa does not, Akula Sherusa does not mean, says the Rashba, that he cut himself a large piece. Why does it look gluttonous? Because he cut himself a large piece. If it's the amount that he's going to eat throughout the whole meal, so he's just putting it aside at the beginning. He says, no, Bata Akula Sherusa means that he would cut every loaf of bread at the table. Meaning, if he made a Lecha Mishnah, he would cut both in the Lecha Mishnah. Says the Gra. The Gra on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Zohar. The Zohar holds, the Zohar has a line that you have 12 loaves of bread at a Suda Shabbos. There are Chassidish Rebbes that are makbid about this, that they have 12 challahs at a Suda Shabbos. That's what the Zohar says. The Gra says, but we have a Klal Gadol, that Nigla and Nistar are never a Stira. They may seem like a Stira, but they're never really a Stira, except for there's one place where it's a Stira, which way you're supposed to put your beds, north, south, or east, west. But other than that, Nigla and Nistar are never a Stira. Aye, what about the Zohar's 12 loaves of bread, and the Gemara says you only need lechem mishnah. He says, no, think about it. Three meals on Shabbos, lechem mishnah at each meal. He says the Zohar wrote yud beis ches with a shmijik. So it doesn't mean yud beis chalos, it means yud beis chalakin. That if you have two loaves, three meals, that's six loaves. You cut all of them in half because you hold like the Rashba, but akula sherusa, then you cut each in half. Six times two is 12, so you have 12 chalakim. You have 12 half loaves. That's the basis of the Zohar. So that's why some have the minug. Mishnah Berurah recommends the minug to cut both chalas at a Suda Shabbos. It's going to be wasteful. You have two big chalas, so don't have two big. Have one big, one small. Mishnah Berurah says, and that works also. Says Mar Vayter Rav Ami Rav Asi, Ki Av Mishrami Lu Rifta De Ruv Amvarchan Alei Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Rav Ami Rav Asi, when they would get the bread from the Eruv, when they would eat the bread of the Eruv, they would make a bracha Hamotzi. Amri Hol V'Sav Be Mitzvah Chad and Nav Be Mitzvah Achriti. They said, you know what? Once we did one mitzvah with it, we made an Eruv with it, we might as well do another mitzvah with it as well. Says Rashi, what do you mean the bread of the Eruv? The bread that they used to make the Eruv yesterday. Problem is, all the Achronim are bothered by the Kasha, that you're not allowed to eat the Eruv in the middle of Shabbos. The Eruv is supposed to last you through the rest of Shabbos. How are they eating the Eruv bread from yesterday? So the Meiri says, no, it must be that what happened, that Rashi means that they were Botzeil Lemachar, means on Sunday, that they would eat it on Sunday. Why does the Meiri not like this himself? He says, because wait a second, eating it on Sunday is not a mitzvah achriti, meaning it's a mitzvah to make a bracha always, but the assumption of the Gemara, it sounds like we're talking about the mitzvah of actually eating this bread. There's no mitzvah to eat the bread on Sunday. That's why when we say that this idea of once you do one mitzvah, you might as well do another mitzvah with it, we say it the same thing with hadassim, that you turn it into besamim, because once you do one mitzvah, what do you have to turn it into besamim Matzoy Shabbos? Just make a bracha and smell it. That's a mitzvah to make the bracha. Apparently the Birchas Hananin is not enough of another mitzvah to apply this klal. It has to be something substantial other than just the bracha. Okay, we'll stop there right at the end of the day.